Okay, good morning, everyone. Are we ready to go? Learn about some ABM? Great. So welcome to the ABM in Action track. My name is Carrie Baldwin. I am the Chief Revenue Officer of Bluebird Strategies, which is now a Square 2 marketing company. And I have the honor and the pleasure of introducing the first speaker of the day. We have Matt Senator from Serious Decisions. If any of you know him or have talked to him, he's been doing this a long time. He's going to share some great insights and ideas and best practices from companies that have been doing and operationalizing ABM. So join me in welcoming Matt to the stage this morning.
I'm good. I'm mic'd. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Carrie. Good morning, everyone. Come on, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's it. Before I get started, let me just start by a show of hands. How many of you in this room are parents? Okay, good. My opener is going to work, I think, then. So when I first became a parent, I made a promise to myself. And that promise was, I'm not going to do the things that my parents did that drove me crazy. Right? I think we've all made that promise to ourselves. Unfortunately, I failed to deliver on that promise to myself. And it's interesting because as the days and the weeks and the years go by, I realize that I am turning into my parents. I am turning into my mother. Figuratively, that is. So it's really interesting because I'm the father of three daughters. So that's hard enough as it is. My oldest is 12, my middle one is 10, and my youngest is 5. And so what happens is they always say to me, oh, Dad, can I get Instagram or Snapchat or Musical.ly? My 5-year-old says, Dad, I want a phone. And I'm like, no, are you guys crazy? No. As a father, it's my job to protect you. And they say, oh, but my friends all have this, right? And I said, well, if your friends would jump off the bridge, would you? How many of you as parents have said that expression before? All right, good. But here's the rub today. I'm going to give you the other side of this coin. There are a lot of people that have jumped into ABM. And what you're going to see today is that when you take a systematic approach, right, a process built on foundations, that you can achieve some significant success. I'm going to start with a little bit of data. So as a research and advisory company, we've been studying this market for more than 10 years. By the way, we're getting a little bit of feedback. If we could just maybe figure that out, that'd be terrific. But what we did is we surveyed more than 200 companies across the globe, and we asked them about their ABM efforts. Nearly 9 out of 10 said that ABM is either extremely or very important to their overall marketing initiatives. And these were marketing and sales leaders, senior level executives saying this. Furthermore, they are investing with their dollars. 27% are dedicating 11 to 30% of their overall marketing budgets on account-based marketing. And that's up from 19% last year. And we asked about their future spend, and they're going to continue to invest in ABM. And that's in programs and people and technologies and services. So not only are people saying it's really exciting, but they're voting with their wallets. What's really interesting is, there's not significant teams or team structure today, ABM-wise. The average number of people in a B2B organization doing ABM is just over 3. The median is 2. And what you'll see is that I often talk about ABM as a team sport. You need to have some dedicated leadership, but it's a myth if you think you need to have 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 people to be doing this. Most people will start small. As I said before, people are investing. 73% said they are going to invest more or significantly more than last year. Like 21% of those said we're going to invest more than 30% of our budgets than we did the prior 12 months. So that's a little bit of data to let you know that you're not alone in thinking that account-based marketing is a way forward and people are investing in it. Now, when we talk about account-based marketing, I thought it would be really important to start with a definition. And I sat in on a workshop yesterday, and we went around the room and introduced, it was Carrie's workshop, and there was like 50 people. And so many people said, I don't have a standard definition of account-based marketing. What is it? And I kind of grinned and smiled, and I said, I'll be happy to share it with you. Just come to the session tomorrow. So the reality is that account-based marketing allows organizations to work with a set of defined accounts. And it's, let me take a step back. I often hear ABM talked about as a tactic or a one-off initiative. And I vehemently will tell you that is not a tactic, it's not a technology, it's not a one-off initiative. It's a change in mindset for B2B to take a different approach to driving demand with a set of target accounts. And we leverage insights, and we drive specificity and relevance into that engagement to do a better job of converting, driving demand, providing more value to the buyers and the customers, but also providing better value to sales in the process. So that's the definition. There are different ways that companies are approaching ABM. Before I share that with you, I just want to also say that there's a lot of people talk about marketing to accounts, and that's different than account-based marketing. So very briefly here, there's a spectrum. And when you're talking about taking a list that sales punts over to you, and you're talking about the things that you want to push and sell and serve, and there's very little customization, right? That's marketing to accounts. When you flip that and you start outside in with accounts, but you understand their needs and their goals and how that ladders to you as an organization with what you want to sell, and you find that mutual win and you leverage insights and you leverage strong relationship with sales and you drive relevance and personalization, that's account-based marketing. So as savvy marketers and sales leaders in this room, let's not confuse these terms. As I said, there's different models. The first is what everyone thinks of initially when you hear account-based marketing, right? Even before it's called account-based marketing, it's the large account model. How do we really help focus on our most strategic and valuable customers to help drive revenue, or how do we go after and win some net new customers that are whale logos that will be very important and significant to our growth goals? The challenge with this, and by the way, we typically see, think about a sales go-to-market that has strategic global accounts. There might be a sales leader that has one account, three accounts, five accounts, and then there's a marketer directly aligned and supporting that sales leader on driving the growth goals within those large accounts. Very important model that people are utilizing. The challenge is it's tough to scale that, right? When you think about scale, there's two additional models we'll talk about here. One is named account. And this is a situation where maybe a sales leader has a territory of 100 accounts. At Serious Decisions, we have our AEs, our hunters. They have a top 100 account, right, in specific geos. That's an example of a named account model. And marketing will support them in a mass customized way. How can we find some similarities or pockets of these customers where we can begin to understand some uniqueness within those, these clusters, and develop an outreach that's mass customized? Similarly, there is an industry ABM model, very similar to named, except you're layering in a industry or sub-industry or segment level as an example. And what this really just allows you to do is to find some ways to go from 100 or 500 or 350, whatever it is, to a more manageable number so you can drive some playbooks and some execution that is more scalable and more customized. So those are the three deployment models that we talk about. I know it's hard to read this in the back, but what the key premise on this slide is that the way that we're going to engage and operationalize ABM is going to be different given these different deployment models. So the top of the pyramid, you've got high level of customization. You've got very finite few resource. You're spending more. You're doing more customization. You're measuring at the account level, right? And as you go further down that pyramid, it changes. You're going to have higher number of accounts. You're going to do less about the contact insights as you would at the top level, right? You can also think about the types of programs or tactics that you would run are going to be different for your tier one, your tier twos, your tier three. So it's kind of a construct for you to think about what changes across these different deployment models. So we're asked all the time, is ABM going to take away or going to be the kind of the standard way of driving demand? And while we're seeing a massive shift towards ABM, as a marketing organization, you need to do both. That's the reality, right? And so they're complementary. And what we've created is the SiriusDecisions demand spectrum, and let me just kind of walk you through it. This will ultimately kind of show the broader approach for B2B driving demand. And on the one axis is the level of account insights. How deep are we going into ABM and account and contact knowledge? Some from having very little account or contact information to have lots of kind of real-time detailed account profiles, but also contact details, and that's the x-axis. The y-axis looks at the level of collaboration and relationship and coordination between marketing and sales, right? You can be a marketer that's understanding kind of the business goals of the organization, and then you start to develop your marketing calendar of activities. There's very little collaboration with sales, all the way to the opposite end of the spectrum where you were developing account-specific engagement plans based on the goals that sales leaders has with those accounts, right? And that's kind of another spectrum. That's the y-axis. And then we're gonna personalize based on this, based on that level of insights, based on the level of collaboration, and that's the overlay. And so when you think about this, as a marketing organization, you've got different ways to create demand in your organization. And it's important to do all of these. A lot of people will use the term broad-based, right, for what we're saying is defined demand. There's kind of segment demand, which is marketing to accounts. You start getting into account-based, more in a one-to-few fashion, all the way up to kind of large account ABM. So that's the demand spectrum. So you saw this theme on the last slide as I pulled together the demand spectrum. If you are sitting here and thinking about what does it take to do account-based marketing, I will tell you that if you can't have a commitment to these things, you're going to fail. Insights, that's what fuels account-based marketing. We have to be willing to agree to not touch certain customers or to overinvest in other customers with rationale behind why. Interlock, we talked about, right? ABM is a team sport. It's not just your marketer, your ABM marketing leader, and your sales leader. There's leadership, there's marketing ops, there's sales ops, there's your content team, so on and so forth. When you set up a charter, you have to understand who you need to engage with, what the cadence is, what the requirements are. It's critical for that interlock. Content development, the way that we need to develop content has to change in ABM. I'm not saying everything has to be completely personalized, that's not scalable either. But there is a content spectrum from, you know, kind of as is, can we leverage this in our playbooks? What percentage of this do we need to change to make it agreeable to the customers with the needs that they have? And what do I have to do that's completely personalized? We need to change. We need, as marketers, as ABM marketers, we need to get into the jet stream of the content creators in order to influence that. And then lastly, measurement has to change. And I'm going to share some thoughts on measurement a little bit later. But think about it for a second. If I'm focused on large ABM programs, I'm a marketer, I've got 5 or 10 accounts that I'm supporting. There might be $50 million in pipeline opportunity that I'm working. Should I be measured on leads? No. If I'm focused on relationship, right, and retention, should I be focused on leads? So the bottom line is that you'll see that marketing needs to be fit for purpose for what it is that we're trying to accomplish as part of our strategy for account-based marketing. All right. So how do companies get there? What I'll tell you is we've been studying this market for 10 years, and at the end of the day, we know that companies take a systematic approach, a process that rests on a foundation, and we often like to joke at SiriusDecisions, this is the house of ABM, and like any good house, you need to have a foundation. You need to have proper insights. You need to have interlock, right? You need to have the right org structure in place and the right people in those roles with the right skills and the right competencies, and it's different. We need, of course, to have the right technology infrastructure in addition to the data. We've got lots of foundational technologies in place today, but there's lots of emerging ones out there, and I'm sure you guys are walking around the marketplace and investigating some of these really great vendors that are helping operationalize and optimizing ABM. So with that foundation, there's a process. And I tell you, so many people say, the first thing you need to do in account-based marketing is you need to select the right accounts. Just like the definition, I'll vehemently disagree with that. I think if you're starting by choosing the right accounts, but you haven't prepared the organization for a different way forward, you failed. Preparation is so critical. It's about sharing the vision for what it is that you want to accomplish, about what's different, about how you're going to get there, what's in scope. Once you have alignment and you've identified the interlock required and the people that are going to be part of this ecosystem, now you begin to work through the semantics. You work through the proper accounts, right? You get through detailed planning process. You execute, and then at the end of the day, you're closing the loop and you're measuring and you're demonstrating that what you've set out to accomplish in the preparation phase is what you're actually delivering on as a marketing and sales organization focused on key accounts. Behind each of these boxes, if you will, we have so many different frameworks and processes and tools and models and data around how to do all these things. It's what we work with our clients on every day. And I'm going to break down a couple examples shortly. What I will say is that process and that foundation is consistent regardless of the deployment model, large, named, or industry. But there are specific, there are nuances in each, and let me explain. Right, when you start thinking about the execution in a large environment, that is really going to be, as I said before, highly customized, one-to-one, lots of investment, white glove. If you think about how I might select accounts in a named account model where I might have 3,000 accounts and I need to narrow in on that, well, I can't take an analog approach that I might in a large deployment model. I might need to use internal data science, data scientists or external vendors to help me really kind of refine that, and you're gonna see that in an example shortly. Industry segment, you start thinking about the roles and the foundation here, you start thinking about the org, the skills, the competencies. If you're doing industry ABM, you're gonna need to have, you need to kind of think about what that looks like from a people perspective. So as I said, we're gonna kind of break down a couple of these. I'm gonna talk about prioritization and then we're gonna talk about measurement. So with prioritization, it's really important to think beyond opportunity. And a lot of companies will say, all right, we know that there's opportunity in these accounts. We believe there's opportunity in these accounts, right? The data says that. Well, just because there's dollars out there doesn't mean that you have any right of winning it, right? Or does it mean that you may not have great cooperation or collaboration with your sales counterparts or your channel partners that you're going through to reach these accounts. So when you think about opportunity, when you think about achievability, and you think about cooperation, those are three indices that you should be thinking about to determine which accounts you want to focus on, right? And within each of those, there are criteria. So opportunity, you start thinking about like, what's the size of the prize? Is it a big global account? Is there opportunity in pipeline? When you start thinking about achievability, do we have the right level of content and assets and subject matter expertise and references, and is our solution fit to meet the needs of the client requirements, so on and so forth. And when you think about cooperation, again, that's the level of cooperation that we have with our sales counterpart, but also with the customer and maybe even channel partners that we're going through. And so behind each of those three indices, we have a tool that helps our clients work with sales to determine the right accounts. This is a screenshot of a client example. You start to see their opportunity, one of the indices, and you see what they did is they kind of ranked their 50 accounts and went through an exercise with sales. And they did it for not only opportunity, but of course achievability and cooperation. And what you get to, and this is an industry ABM deployment model, what you get to is a very clear visual that says, okay, these are the types of accounts that boil to the top of the list that we should be focusing on. And it's a data-driven approach. It's not sales saying, hey, focus on these 20 accounts in these territories. It's a more structured way to get to a good place for prioritization. Let me share with you a client example within the prioritization and execution. It's a company by the name of Demandbase. I'm sure many of you have heard of them. They are a vendor in the ABM space, but they're also terrific ABM practitioners themselves. And they started with a total addressable market of thousands when they first started. And they had a very small, smaller team. And they said, we have to be disciplined and diligent in our outreach, right? We've got finite resources. We need to refine that list. So they sat down and said, all right, which key stakeholders do we need to involve? The leadership, the sales leadership, marketing leadership, marketing ops, et cetera. They went through a process to ultimately agree on the target account list, refining that total addressable market into a named account list. They developed some marketing playbooks to execute different programs against different needs and measure and iterate, and that's kind of the evolution of their program. And by the way, we've got Peter Isaacson, the CMO of Demandbase, and Megan Hewer, who heads up our research. They did a webinar on this. So if you're interested, catch up with me afterwards. I'll give you my card. We'll make sure that you get a detailed video of this recording. Anyway, so they went to basically 1,000 or 1,200 or 1,500 accounts from thousands and thousands to that named list. And they took an omni-channel approach to engagement that was focused a lot on digital, right? I mean, as a platform for digital outreach themselves, they leveraged a lot of their own solutions, but others. By the way, on the selection, they used a predictive analytics company to help them refine that list, that couldn't be a more manual process. What I'll say there, the key takeaway is even after they got the list from the predictive company, they sat down with sales and they massaged it. Does this make sense? What's missing? Do you have accounts that are not in here, that should be on here, and why? And that's kind of a really key takeaway. Don't rely on the technology alone. You need to have that vetting and socialization and agreement with sales. And so basically, an engagement plan created different playbooks. So of those 1,500, there were some that were net new, so I got a playbook around net new, right? There were some that they realized we've got one solution here, and we've got better chance of retention with multiple products. So there was upsell. Let's say they had a form fill capability. They're upselling an analytics platform. Or analytics platform, we're gonna cross-sell to a different buying center, targeted advertising, and just retargeting as an example. So different playbooks for different objectives for those different accounts. And then the last thing is measurement. And you see here some really impressive results they had in their ABM approach, right? So you see much better conversion rates, 400 for their enterprise accounts, just under 260% increase for mid-market. Their contract value is exponentially higher. Velocity in some cases up, some cases down. The key point I'll make there is that velocity is an important metric, but never look at it in isolation. You need to look at all these relative to each other. So at the end of the day, I can create bigger deals, better conversion, it takes a little bit longer. I think that's a trade-off that we as an organization would be willing to make. When demand creation became really prominent 10 years ago, it was all about leads and lead creation, a marketing sourced pipeline. And that is important. What we're seeing with a shift towards account-based marketing, we're seeing a shift in measuring influence. At the end of the day, a lot of these accounts are gonna be worked with sales. There's pipeline opportunity already created. It's our job as marketers to help ensure that we win those deals. Those deals that get stuck, how do we get them unstuck and through that pipeline, right? So marketing influenced is really is trending, of course. The other thing about measurement is most B2B companies have really long cycle times, right? Big deals, it's a complex buying process, lots of buyers, and we have to be able to show and demonstrate results along the way. We can't wait 18 months to say that our ABM program is working, or 24 months, or 36 months, or whatever it is, right? And if we're not gonna measure leads necessarily, well, what does measurement look like? So we have developed the account-based marketing aligned measurement framework. And it really breaks out four key metric classes that you guys should be considering. Readiness, activity, output, and impact. And these kind of build off each other. So readiness, how prepared are we as an organization to adopt and implement account-based marketing? Have we identified and profiled the right accounts? Have we added contact data so we can begin to outreach and nurture? What type of activity are we doing as marketers in the realm of ABM? We do that activity because we expect it to generate output. right? That's kind of a reaction, and that's the engagement that we're striving for with these key accounts, with these key executives, right? We're starting to show that we're on the right path. And then ultimately, what is this doing from a pipeline perspective? Are we sourcing? Are we influencing? Are we accelerating? Right? So very important to think about measurement in different classification systems. As part of the research study we did, and we do this research study every year, we asked, how are companies evolving their measurement? 3 years ago, people were like, oh, we want to do ABM, we're going to start. There was really little measurement. And we've seen, over the years, a much more concerted, focused effort on it. And you start to see the percentage of respondents that said they are actually collecting and reporting on these metrics, and you show the change from prior year. So when you start seeing things like readiness, this is, right, number of new contacts identified, nearly 6 out of 10 are actually measuring that. It's part of their dashboard. When you think about some activity measures, right, events held specifically for ABM, content developed specifically for ABM, when you start thinking about the output, what is that generating? I'm getting these response rates to these programs. I'm getting this level of engagement with the account. I'm getting this level of engagement with the senior directors or C-level executives. And then impact metrics. So great, great increase in the measurement that's being done today. I will tell you, not all measurement is sexy or fancy. I see lots of spreadsheets, I see lots of PowerPoint, and that's okay. But we're also seeing an evolution towards more sophisticated reporting. We're seeing a lot of tools being developed, BI specifically for ABM, that are helping the adoption of some of this as well. The last thing I'll say here is feedback from internal stakeholders. That is so critical. For all of you that are looking to pilot or adopt something, I'd recommend you start by asking, do an NPS survey of your sales leaders. What's the contribution that marketing is making today to your key accounts? 6 months later, after you adopt that program, get some feedback. I will tell you, in every client situation, it's gone through the roof where they've adopted ABM, right? Getting that feedback from sales leaders to say, this is what you're now contributing that we weren't getting before in terms of account knowledge, account engagement, pipeline acceleration, it really is impressive. So National Instruments, I'll give you a quick story here. They came to us 3 years ago. They were doing kind of some pockets of ABM work, some kind of random acts of marketing, best-in-class marketing, as it relates to ABM, but they wanted to formally structure an ABM program. And so they were focused kind of top of pyramid, large accounts. They were focused on driving demand. They actually wanted to source new demand. That was kind of their remit initially, because they wanted to show and demonstrate some wins so they can expand the capabilities of their ABM program. And what we did, you see in the second slide, upper right, we started by saying, okay, let's assess where your ABM maturity is today. So we've got kind of comprehensive models. This is a maturity model that said, okay, where are you in terms of interlock with these key functions? Where are you in terms of ABM measurement? Where are you in terms of ABM process and responsibilities? And we diagnosed and we dissected each of those and we said, okay, here's where you are today. Where do we want to go? What's most important to you as an ABM organization? We identified that. We put in place plans and engagement and inquiry and tools to help them evolve to a best-in-class ABM organization. You see in the bottom left, one of the things that we did with them was helping go to sales to say, these are the accounts that we're going to focus on, and here's why, right? A data-driven approach. What I really love is they celebrated the success. They actually went through kind of that process with sales. We've got a select practice written on that. If you're interested, I can certainly get it to you, a case study. That's a picture of one of the marketers. They baked a cake with the quadrants of the accounts that they ultimately were going to focus on, those accounts that had high opportunity, high achievability, and high cooperation, and that's where they focused. They had great results, and they've expanded their program. You see here from, you know, that's a picture of Joe Quinn, who received at the Flip My Funnel event the most comprehensive overall ABM program award in December. They've won the America's Innovation Marketer of the Year Award 2014, the Global Innovation Marketer of the Year Award in 2015, sales awards in 2015, They won a account-based marketing Program of the Year award from Serious Decisions, and they culminated in that Flip My Funnel award. So bottom line is, a lot of hard work, but they were able to start small, and expand. This is their dashboard in Salesforce, and it's been sanitized, but you see things like how many, they were trying to drive engagement with key accounts, setting up meetings for the marketing and the sales leader to go and meet with them. That led to opportunities created at the account level. That led to their pipeline, which led to opportunities won by account. So a more formal dashboard in Salesforce to help them communicate the results. I know this has been kind of a whirlwind, and I'm talking very quickly. Here's some other results from some of our clients, again, using that same metric spectrum class. We've got clients that have really contributed. From a readiness perspective, SAP, as they were looking to get into new buying centers and some strategic accounts, they had no idea who to talk to, sales. So marketing actually developed 1,200 new contacts in those key buying centers to go after. They then certainly nurtured, they created hundreds of millions of dollars of pipeline in those new accounts. But you see some other results, right? You start thinking about from an activity perspective, as you shift to an ABM model, you're gonna do more focused events, you're gonna do more focused engagement on ABM target accounts. You're trying to get output of account engagement increase or senior executive level account engagement, right? Larger deal sizes, better velocity rates, retention. So ABM works for companies that do it and do it well. So I'll leave you with this, right? If you are at that bridge and you feel like there is a process to follow, you feel like you've got a harness and a safety net and a parachute, I think you can jump off that bridge knowing that you can achieve significant results like some of these others that you've seen. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you. Thanks for your time today. If anyone has any questions, let me know.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. That was awesome. I could have listened to it all day. So we're going to take a 30-minute break right now and come back at 11 o'clock to hear the next session, which will be Sydney Sloan of Alfresco, starting at 11 a.m. Make your way over to the marketplace if you have a chance. Visit some of the ABM vendors and providers. And don't forget to download the B2B MX app on your phone. See you at 11 o'clock.